Hey there, my name's Gary Sims, and this is Gary Explains. Now, of course, your Raspberry Pi has a limited amount of storage, initially because it's just the SD card that you plug into the little slot there. Of course, there are ways of expanding the storage. You can add USB devices, a USB flash drive, USB SSD drive. Of course, you can always mount a drive over the network. And for example, if you have a NAS, like a Synology NAS, you can connect to it over Windows sharing, which would be using Samba. And as I showed in my video about how you can boot one Raspberry Pi from another, you can also mount it over NFS. There is another way to mount remote storage to a NAS, like a Synology NAS, and that's using iSCSI. So today's video is all about Raspberry Pis and iSCSI. So if you want to find out more, please let me explain. So what we're going to do is we're going to start by looking what is iSCSI, look at some of the terminology, what it's all about. Then we're going to go over to a Synology NAS and create some remote storage that can be accessed over iSCSI. And then finally, we're going over to a Raspberry Pi and we're going to connect to that iSCSI remote storage. And then the thing about iSCSI is that it's block level, which means that when you connect to it, it looks like an actual disk. So we're actually going to partition and format the disk. It's not connected via USB, it's not connected by SATA or by anything else that you might have with a carrier board or something, whatever you've got with your Raspberry Pi. It's doing it all over a network, and that is the brilliant thing about iSCSI. Okay, let's take a look at what is iSCSI. Okay, so we're going to be looking at how to connect a Pi to your NAS using iSCSI. iSCSI, what does it stand for? Well, it's the Internet Small Computer Systems Interface, and it provides block-level access to storage over a network. So the Pi sees it just like it would see any other hard disk or SSD connected, and you can partition it and format it and so on. So let's have a look at iSCSI. Welcome to iSCSI. iSCSI provides block-level access to storage devices by carrying SCSI commands over a TCP/IP network. So really, this is SCSI over the internet, over a TCP/IP network, hence iSCSI. Okay, so what is SCSI? Well, welcome to the 1980s. Let's do a flashback here. Small Computer Systems Interface is a set of standards for physically connecting and transferring data between computers and peripheral devices. The SCSI standards define commands, protocols, electrical, optical, and logical interfaces. It really was the kind of the real high-speed interface for servers and big computers back in the 80s. In fact, SCSI 1 was published in 1986. And I remember when I was working for Digital Equipment Corporation, when I got a workstation with a SCSI drive in it, it was like, oh, wow, you've got a really high performance system there. So SCSI lives on today in iSCSI. Now, normally when you share files from, let's say, a NAS to a desktop computer, to your Mac, to your laptop, to your Linux, whatever, it's a file sharing protocol. So things like SMB, the server message block protocol, that's Windows networking, basically, the network file system, NFS, they basically are a way of connecting a computer to a server, but it's at a file level. So it'll say, hey, what files do you have? And then the server will say, well, here's the list of files that I've got. Oh, brilliant, great, that's the files I need. Could you please open readme.txt? Okay, it's open. Okay, could you please send me the first 128 bytes or whatever? And so everything's done at a file level. On the server here, the file system or the actual type of hard drive is irrelevant. It could be running NTFS, it could be running EXT4, it could be running any file system that the server supports, and the client doesn't care about that. It just says, hey, what files have you got? And the protocols, these protocols, server message block and NFS, just deal with files and how those files are stored. They could be stored on a ticker tape for all these messages, for all these networking file sharing protocols we care. It doesn't matter. Now, iSCSI is a lot lower level. So rather than dealing with files, it's dealing at the block level. So block access, just like over a physical cable. So almost like the computer talking to a hard drive and saying, you know, how many heads have you got, and how many sectors have you got, and how many tracks have you got, and kind of trying to access the hard drive at a physical level. So here we are again. Here's our client. Here's our server. And this, of course, is not the real way iSCSI works, but just give you the idea of how low level it is. It's like read byte at position 17, whatever position 17 is, you know, okay, it's 42 in hex, okay, we'll move the read position to DE77, or, you know, it might be track information or head information, okay, done that, okay, write hex 4.2 to the byte at an offset of 11. So it's really, really low level, and it's up to the client to work out how the file system is going to work, how the files are stored, you know, and all the stuff it's doing. Of course, clients like the Raspberry Pi understand file systems like ext4, and so it's going to basically format the hard drive and access the hard drive just like it would any other ext4 hard drive, but not over a SATA cable or over a USB port, over the network. So there's a few bits of terminology for iSCSI, which is a bit different to kind of other things, but really it's the same thing. There are two parties in an iSCSI setup, the client and the server, as I was just showing you. Now, the client is called the initiator. So when you, if you read any documentation about iSCSI, it's going to talk about the initiator is the client, and the server, that's the remote storage, the Synology NAS in our example here, is the target. So you have an initiator and a target. Okay, so what we need to do to get this working is four things. First of all, we need to create a target on the NAS, and a Synology NAS can act as an iSCSI target, as can other makes of NAS, but I have Synology here, so that's what we're going to be using. Then you need to discover and connect the Pi to that target, and we're going to be using OpeniSCSI as a package you can install on the Raspberry Pi to do that. Then once it's been connected, we want to format the remote disk, because remember, it's just block storage. It's just a bunch of blocks that you need to now actually access, just like you would a hard drive. So we're going to use MKFS, Make Filing System, to create a new filing system. And then finally, I'm going to show you how you can permanently mount that, so that whenever you boot up your Pi, it automatically mounts the iSCSI target, and it's available there for you to use on the Pi. Okay, so the first thing we're going to do is create the target on the NAS. Let's go over to the Synology NAS and do that. Okay, so here I am on the web interface for my Synology NAS. This is DSM version 7. Now, the first thing we need to do is make sure that the SAN manager is installed. So let's go over here to the package manager, and let's just type in SAN here. And there it is. It's already on my system. If it isn't on your system, you need to make sure you install that. Now, you can either open it here, or of course you can go up to the kind of the start menu here and just go into the SAN manager. Now, the SAN manager has all these different things that it can do, including of course for iSCSI. So you click on the iSCSI part here on the left, and then you want to add a target. Remember, target is that word for that remote storage that you can access from the initiator, from the client. So we're going to say add, and it will give you this thing called an IQN, and we need that, so you might want to just cut and paste it for the moment, because you're going to need it later. You can enable authentication, which means only devices with the right username and password are going to be able to connect to this target. I'm not going to use that because I'm here on my own LAN in the house. It's not a problem. Go to next, create a new LAN. Yes, that's what we want. And then finally, you basically get to set the size. So I'm going to make 128 gigabytes. Now, there is a thing here. You can either basically use thick or thin provisioning. What it basically means, thick is it will create 128 gigabyte file now on your NAS, and that will get used, or thin basically means it grows in size as the storage gets used up. Obviously, if it's thick, it's much faster. If it's thin, it doesn't use up as much disk space. I've got several terabytes here on this drive, so 128 gigabytes is not really a problem there for me. And where? Well, I've only got one volume on it, so I've only it's on those hard drives there. So we click next again. Here's basically the summary of what it is, and then we just click done. And there we go. Now under the iSCSI tab, in fact, under the overview, we can see that we've got one setup here, and we can edit it and so on. But again, this is the thing here, this IQN, we need that when we go over to the Raspberry Pi. Okay, now we need to do steps 2, 3, and 4, discover and connect to the target, format it, and mount it. So we can do all of that over on the command line on the Raspberry Pi. Okay, so here I am over on my Raspberry Pi. The first thing you need to do is install the iSCSI package. So of course, we want to start with a sudo apt update, make sure all the lists to the repositories is up to date. And then after that, we want to do an apt install OpenSCSI. So while that's happening, just let me point out that I have all of these commands listed inside of a document that you can read over on my GitHub repository, in case you don't catch the commands here in the video, and I'll give you a link to that in the description. So if you don't see the exact command, brackets and slashes and things, you know, that's going to be there over on the GitHub repository. Okay, so the OpenSCSI package is installing. Okay, so that has now installed. So the first thing you should do is edit a file called slash etc slash iSCSI slash initiator name dot iSCSI. That's a configuration file. And basically we go in here. Now you notice here was that IQN, and it's different every time it gets created. So we want to add in the one that we created a moment ago. And if you remember, we cut and paste that to the clipboard. So there it is. There is my target name. And then in Nano, all you need to do is do X and Y to escape from that. Okay, so that's the first thing. There's a second file that you may want to edit. And this is slash etc slash iSCSI slash iSCSID.conf, iSCSI daemon, the server, the configuration file. Now, basically, if you were using authentication, you might need to go down here to the CHAP settings, and you're going to change here the username and password and so on. Now, we didn't use that in my setup, so I'm not doing that. If you do, you need to uncomment some of those there, including this one here, type of authentication and the username and password. Sorry, it's this one here, isn't it? Not that one. That one here and this one here to get that working. Okay, so that's just in case you use that. Now, another thing you need to do is go to the part of the file that says startup settings. And by default, the iSCSI is set to start up manually. That means that you have to actually issue some commands to get to reconnect to the sessions and basically to the iSCSI target. We want to change that to no.startup is equal to automatic. That means it will reinitiate those requests to the iSCSI target when it starts up, which means you can then kind of mount them remotely, which we'll do in a moment, and everything is there at a reboot. Now, once we've done that, best thing to do is restart all of the services. So it's system control, restart iSCSI daemon, and open iSCSI. Now, here's the first thing we need to do. We need to use a command, the iSCSI admin command. That's this one here. And we're telling it we want to discover what's available out there, and particularly on this node, 192.168.1.04, which is actually the IP address of my Synology NAS. Now, the important thing is you must always use the sudo command in front of this. Some of the commands will actually work without it. But the important thing is that the database that it creates, the current status, is on a per user basis. So if you use sudo now, you have to use it all the time, because it's as root it's storing this information. If you run it then without the sudo command later on, you won't see the same status information. You won't see the same discovery information, which we're about to see, because it's now running under the pi user. So always remember to use sudo at the front. Let's run this. And there we go. It said there, yeah, hey, I can see that. There's my NAS with that IQN that we talked about. So it's discovered that. So that's really good. In that case, then we're going to say, well, are you sure you've discovered that? Show me. So this is the iSCSI command again. Show, and it will give us all that information. Look at that. So it's very happy that it's found that. So that's really good. And then what you need to do is you need to log in. Now, if we were actually using the username and password like we said, then the actual login would be a proper login. In this case, it's a connect because it's without any authentication, but you still use the login command. And so it's now trying to log in. Now, on my one here, it does actually try to connect over IP4 and IP6. So here you can see the IP4 address, and here you can see the IP6 address. One of them works and the other one doesn't. And I haven't spent too much time debugging that, but basically it will just time out in a minute, but it will still connect using IPv4. Okay, once the login has completed, we can show that we have an established session. So it's iSCSI command, M session, and show as the command. And here it tells us that it's connected over IPv4 to that target, which we set up. So everything is brilliant. Now, at this point, the hard drive on that block, that file, that target we created on the NAS will now appear as a hard drive here on the Raspberry Pi. So we can check for that. One way is just to do a D message and grep for SCSI. So we can see that it has access, look, there you go, to the Synology storage. So that's good. We can actually look to see if there are any devices, any hard drives been added. And so we can look for SD. And here we can see we now have an SDA, something you don't have. And look, it says an attached SCSI disk. Of course, SD is SCSI disk. And in fact, even SATA drives and so on connect that way. But that's a whole different story about how Linux block devices work. And then, of course, if we do a cat of /proc/partitions. We can see here at the end we've got SDA and it's 128 gigabytes. So there is now a device that it thinks is like connected physically, an SDA device connected to our Raspberry Pi, which means we can now partition it and format it. So I've got a whole video on how to partition and format disk in Linux over the command line, and I will leave a link to it in the description below if you want to have some better background on how all this works. Basically, I'm going to use fdisk. Other people like to use parted. It can use whatever tool that you prefer to use. Okay, and what we're going to do is we're going to create a new partition table, a GPT partition table, which is now empty. We're going to do n for a new partition. Yes, number one, take the full size. And if we now print it out there, we can see we have a Linux partition, 128 gigabytes, and it's SDA1. And so we just write that back to the hard drive, and there it is, it's up and running. So then the next thing you need to do after that is you need to make a file system, format it. In other words, we partitioned it and now we format it. So format it ext4, and notice we're using SDA1 because that's the partition we've just created, and that will go ahead and create the file system on that. Okay, so if we wanted to, we could mount that hard drive. So let's create a mount point, mkdir-p/iscsi-mnt. That's just where I'm going to put it. And we can do sudo mount /dev/sda1 on iscsi mount. And if we do df-h, there we can see it is at the very bottom. Here it is, absolutely mounted, 126 gigs there. And we can go to /iscsi mount, and there we go. We can touch gary.txt. Oh, don't have permission. Okay, sudo touch gary.txt. There we go. All right, so that's it. You can start to use that. Now, if you want to mount this all the time when the machine builds up, two things we need to remember. One is that the iSCSI remembers what it's logged into, so you don't have to keep doing all that login stuff. It remembers what it's logged into. It remembers what's there, because obviously iSCSI is designed to be something permanent. You don't keep connecting and unconnecting hard drives all the time, so you won't want to do that with a network. So when it comes up, it says, okay, I need to connect to that. But at the same time, it can't come up until the machine is fully booted, your Pi is fully booted, and all the network is running. So what we need to do is we can't mount it in the fstab file. There's probably a way to do it, but the easiest way to do it is to mount it later on. So to do that, what we're going to do is we're going to create a file called /etc/mount. SCSI, so sudo nano /etc/mount/scsi, and inside that file all we're going to do is we're going to run a shell script. We're going to sleep for a minute, so once this runs it will wait for 1 minute, and then it's going to mount /sda1 on iSCSI mount, and all you do is to save that. We also of course need to give it execution permission, so we do a sudo +x /etc/mount iSCSI so that it can execute. Now there is a file called /etc/rc.local. This script is executed at the end of each multi-user run level. So basically, once it gets up to running full time, it will run rc.local. And as you can see here, I've already got something in here that I do to set up a VNC server running. Now what we can actually do is we can edit that file. So sudo nano /etc/rc.local. And down at the bottom, but before the exit zero, what we want to do is we want to add a line that says this, sudo /etc/mount iSCSI.shell, and run it in the background. And that's it. So that will now run when the thing is when it first boots up. So if you reboot now, it will come up, it will wait 1 minute, and then it will try to mount that SCSI thing, and then you'll always permanently have it here on /iSCSI mount.
Okay, so there we have it, how you access remote iSCSI storage from a Raspberry Pi. I really hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, please do give it a thumbs up. And if you like these kind of videos, you can stick around by hitting that subscribe button. You can also follow me on Twitter, @GaryExplains. And don't forget, I do have a monthly newsletter. Go over to GaryExplains.com, type in your email address, no spam, just a newsletter. Okay, that's it. I'll see you in the next one.